topic we are looking at this morning is the leadership and followership challenge in field evangelism. The leadership and followership challenge in field evangelism. 2 Samuel chapter 23. If you're there, say amen. Okay, I can't hear your voices. If you're there, say amen. Verse 8 says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachonites that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Exonite. That implies Adino is the Tachonite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eliza, the son of Dodo, the Aholite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand cleaved unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. I pray that the Lord will raise up mighty men like Eliza of Dodo here in Jesus' name. You will fight up to the point that your strength would have been gone, but your spirit would still be alive. Amen. Verse 11, and after was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Ararite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. They wanted to take the good of the land, the precious souls that were there. But let men like Shammah, they stood their ground. They say, any good land belongs to the Lord. They say, Baruten land belongs to the Lord. Ministries have given up there. They have concluded there's no way to make progress in this land. But men like Shammah, they said, we will wait. We will look unto the Lord, and the Lord will give us deliverance in Jesus' name. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an old, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one may give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gates. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew out water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men? When water has become blood, is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink of it. These things did these three mighty men. Amen. Very quickly, we can have the outline on screen if we can. We'll be looking at the Christian organization and field evangelism. That's the first session we'll be looking at. Christian organization media, if you can help me, it will be faster if we have it on screen. The Christian organization and field evangelism. Then we'll talk about the Christian leadership and followership. We'll look at the challenges that the leadership and the followership face, and then we'll do a quick conclusion. So, from the text that we looked at, we will find out that David was nothing without his mighty men. David was nothing without his mighty men. However, the mighty men also were nothing without David. Am I speaking to God's people? So it goes pari passu. You need the mighty men. And pardon me, when we talk about the mighty men, we are talking about followers that originally were distressed. They were discontented. They were in debt. There was nothing to write to them about themselves. Some of them were not schooled. Some of them had no jobs. Some of them had issues in their life that it seemed like as if they have reached the end of the road. But they identified the purpose of God in a man and they followed that man. And at the end of it, they became what you call the mighty men of David. Can I trust God for mighty men in this assembly? Can I trust that God can make us mighty men in this assembly? In the name of Jesus. Another thing I want you to note in the text that we read is that the enemy always guards the area where there are precious things. Are we following this morning? First was a field. Out of that field was going to be mighty things coming out. Out of that land is the place where God had put produce of the land. And somehow the enemy has a whisper of it and they guard that area. And they fight against it. But thank God for mighty men. Because what the enemy has seen, we have seen also. And it does not seem like what it is today, but we see what is beyond. And because of that, they are prepared to stake their life. First was Eliza. Then we talked about Shammah. Going to that place where there is precious fruits. And I want to declare before this also, there is precious fruit in this land. It doesn't matter where you are posted to. There is oil and resources in that land. And you are the one that will bring it out in Jesus' name. So I said David was nothing without his mighty men. The enemy always guard that area where there are precious things. David was their leader, but a leader is nothing without his followers. But David had mighty men that would follow him. God needs men to lead. That's the sole purpose why God called us. When the scripture says, the earnest expectation of the whole earth is for the manifestations of the sons of God, it implies that God is leading for people, looking for people that will lead the world, that will show the light. For people that will turn around the dynamics of what originally was. God needs men. My prayer for you is that God will find you. And if he finds you, he can turn whatever situation around to be for the prophet in Jesus' name. Let's look at the next slide, the Christian organization. Now, a Christian organization is primarily a group of persons that are gathering to further the sole aim of Christ coming into the world. That's to save souls. That's the purpose of the Christian organization. Our sole motive, our sole purpose, forget the things that you see, pardon me, I'm a pastor, forget that the things that you see in some churches. The number one aim why Christ came and why he left the church behind was to save souls. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Am I correct or I'm saying something out of place? To save souls. If we do every other thing and yet souls are not saved, we're not achieving our purpose. Am I correct? So that's the sole aim of the Christian gathering. Field evangelism has one purpose and one goal: to go where the sinners are. To go where there are unsaved souls and reach the unsaved masses wherever they are, with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the field evangelism, to go out there, to look for them. The highways, the byways, the lowways, wherever they are, to look for them and to reach these unsaved masses. Amen. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, what is Christian leadership? What is Christian leadership? Christian leadership is a dynamic relation in which people, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, partner to achieve a common goal. Every organization must have one sole aim, not many. And Christian leadership involves people partnering together, standing hand in hand, the leader, the followers, with the Holy Spirit to achieve that one goal. Christian leadership is serving others by leading and leading others by serving. Serving others by leading and leading others by serving. Note that word, serving, is involved in Christian leadership. And I want to say this by experience in the field. Christian leadership is the most intensive leadership style in the entire world. We are in Barotan. Not when we went to Gambia. We were in Barotan the other time. 4 a.m., somebody was banging at pastor's door and said, Pastor, a sister had been vomiting and throwing up throughout the night. And you know my first response to a person, okay, that's beautiful, but what do you want the pastor to do? So a pastor is a doctor, and then we went to the church. The generator was not working, and they waited for pastor to come. You know the reason why? Pastor was also a generator mechanic. And then somebody wants to go to school and does not know the course to take, and he goes again and looks for pastor and says, Pastor, what course will I take? And really, that's why we'll come to that later on. You need to develop yourself as a believer. And speaking to everyone here, if you must lead God's people, you must be self-developed. You must be vast. You must be well-read. I'm not talking about having a PhD degree. I am saying you are aware of your environment. And by the wisdom of God, you can direct people in different phases of life. Am I speaking to God's people this morning? It's the most intensive organization, leadership style in the entire world. Now, next slide. Being a Christian leader means possessing a compassionate heart, walking in godliness, standing for the truth, serving God, and at times willing to be unpopular. I'm running through these things because there's something. Now, I've, thank God for Daddy, thank God for my own daddy here, Pastor Dan, our papa, Daddy Okafo and the wife that are not here sat now. But there are times in the course of the ministry that your view will be unpopular. But that's what Christian leadership is at times. Let's make progress. Leaders grow not a very good organization into a great organization. I wish I could spend time on this, but this is not the focus of what I want to do, so I will not dwell on it. You don't have the best organization, but you have people that have a willing heart. Then when you have a good leader, they can transform that not very good organization to a great organization. For those that watch football, for years, Alex Ferguson of Man United led a team that was not so much known, at least as at the time they won their first premiership. And today, only the name Man U is known all over the world. Am I speaking to God's people? So a leader is able, I would have loved to make an emphasis, where the organization is not good at all, there's no, okay, where at times miracle can happen and God brings transformation. But you need the organization at least to have people that have a ready heart. Okay, let me make progress. They take ordinary people with a desire to grow and make them extraordinary people. That's what David did. That's what David did. Examples of Christian leaders. Moses, David. David is the one we are focusing on. Samuel, Jesus. I believe all of us here have read about this man, so I'm not focusing on it. But David particularly took men that were in debt. Is there anybody that's in debt here? Okay, you don't want to raise your hand up. Is there anybody that is distressed here? Life issues has pressed on you. If you follow a good leadership, you can become a mighty man in the land. Amen. Those are Bible examples, contemporary examples. How many of us have heard of S.J. Elton? Pa S.J. Elton. Wow. Blessed be God. Pa S.J. Elton. I expected many more people would have. Please, let's take time to read. If there's anything I want to encourage this house, where we are going is still a distance. What you are seeing now looks great, but we have much more ahead. But S.J. Elton, I would refer him as the father of Pentecostalism in Nigeria. Or if you prefer, I call him the grandfather. Because men like Archbishop Benson Idahosa, Adeboye, Oyedepo, they will go and look for this man. It was inside Ilesha. How many people know where Ilesha is? I'm not sure many people. Today, the place is even better developed. I passed through Ilesha. That would have been 1993, thereabouts. There was nothing to write up about the place. But men will leave the comfort of Benin City, Lagos, Ibadan, to go and look for somebody there. That's what it means to have a good leader. One of the fathers of those days. Of course, we know of Enoch Adeboye. And by the grace of God, let's put our hands together for Reverend Dr. B.U. Okafor. He's a leader of our time. Whether you want to believe it or not, if he was not a leader, you and I would not be here. Thank God he's not here. I'm not blowing his trumpet. So humble. See, the money that has been put into this work, Reverend B.U. Okafor could have had an estate in the United States of America. But those are leaders. And let's put our hands together for my own pastor, Pastor Daniel Onoa. He's one of our leaders of our days. They have paid sacrifices. You don't know the battles that... Now, pardon me, I'm not blowing trumpet, but I need you to know that they are leaders. If you identify a leader, hold strongly to him because there are things that will profit from them. If people like Shammah and Abner and people like Eliza, they follow these men and they became mighty men, you, your case will not be different in Jesus' name. Christian leadership principles, very quickly. A Christian leader must have a compassionate heart. Love for God. Listen. Daddy Dan, if there's anything I love about this man, forget every other thing. Me, I'm aware he loves God. The hallmark of a Christian leader is that he loves God more than he loves himself. He loves God. John 13, verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple because you have love for God. Modesty. They are not flamboyant. Who mentioned it? Was it that? Was it Prof? Christian leaders are not flamboyant. They know where the value of money could be put. Okay, let me not talk about ourselves. But by God's grace, if I wanted, and let me say about this house today, if we want to build this hall, in reality, we have had the money before now. But we have decided, because of souls, to put it in different areas. Another attribute, very quickly, is self-development and training. Now, Jesus often, he will constantly, now this part of the emphasis I'm going to be making. Every Christian leader must prioritize one thing. Note it from me. I don't know if how many of us have heard about the man of God circle. First of all, you are a child of God. Is that okay? When you give your life to Christ, you are a child of God. You grow, you mature. And then people start calling you, and there are great wonders, and then you become the man of God. And then, if you are not careful, you become the man of the people. When you leave God and start looking at the people. And once God is removed out of the question, you become an ordinary man. In fact, a dead man. And become a prey to the enemy. We call it the man of God circle. So the key part of it is that continually, we have had such a wonderful program now, but our advice after now, take time. Look at the things that we have studied. Stay with God a little further, and you develop yourself in Jesus' name. There are vision carriers and the picture painters. Let's take the challenge of Christian followership, and then we'll start to pray. One is commitment. One is commitment. The disciples, but let me talk about the mighty men of David. No, all David needed to say was, oh, that I would just taste of the water of Bethlehem. You know what? He was not given a command. I don't know if you understand that. He was not even given an instruction. I need 10 persons to be able to produce, to give me 5 million. No, it wasn't like that. If only we shall be able to lay the foundation of the city of David. It's a thought. He only voiced it out. And the challenge of followership is to be committed to that goal. And those men, they ran. They only heard, but they ran. And they did it at the jeopardy of their lives. I said they are beating what I call the inertia syndrome. They get up and walk. They are not satisfied just sitting down, laid back, waiting all the time. Another challenge of followership is the ability to stretch yourself. Listen, if you always walk in the comfort zone of your life, you are not going to grow. Am I speaking to God's people? Those men became mighty men when they break through the troops of the Philistines. That's how they became mighty. The scripture tells us about Shammah. Oh, Lord. When God decided to now use the spirit, you know what was happening in the case of Shammah? Shammah had a sword in his hand, but he was not fighting anymore. I personally believe angels were just waving their hands. And the man was already weak and tired. The physical strength had gone, but his heart was there. And then we switch over to the realm of the spirits. Stretching yourself. And lastly, what I call dynamizing, or ready to work on key subjects. There are things that are important in this household. Identify them. There are times you're going this direction, and all of a sudden you say, oh, no, it's not that direction, we are going this way. Don't say, the leader doesn't know. It's because the move of the Spirit has taken us from this place to to this other place. Am I speaking to God's people this morning? And my prayer for you is that God would make you that follower that will become a mighty man and will turn about the narrative that we have. Amen. In conclusion, the field is where we are called to. This must always be in our big picture. We must develop ourselves and grow. We must help others to grow as well. Jesus promised to make his disciples leaders of men if they will follow him. Amen. Where are you as a leader or a follower? Let's rise on our feet. I'd like you to lift up your voice. I'll see if we can make those slides available. I hope you have taken some notes as well. But let's rise on our feet. Let's rise on our feet. Let's rise on our feet as we pray. Matthew chapter 20. I'll just read 25 to 28 in conclusion. Matthew chapter 20, 25 to 28. Please stand on your feet, be on your feet. I believe this early morning we should still have strength. But Jesus called unto them, Jesus called them unto him and said, "You know that the princes of these Gentiles, they exercise dominion over them. And they are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so amongst you." That means Jesus Christ is saying there's a different type of leadership or followership that is better. This morning, I'd like you to lift up your voice and say, "Lord, make me that great follower." Every one of us, we're actually a follower. We're following one Lord. We're following one leader, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Make me to be a great follower. Make me to be an effective follower. Help me to be able to see the big picture. Strengthen my hands to fight like Shammah. Even when I'm weary that the battle, I can continue. Lift up your voice, somebody. Lift up your voice. Talk to the King of Glory. There is something awesome this morning that the Lord will perfect in the name of Jesus. We are going somewhere. We are getting somewhere. The Lord is our help. The Lord is our strength. We are more than conquerors. No matter what is set before us, we have the victory. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Libo kot moshontaya. Rekat baskantele bokot moshontaya. You could not have come all the way from your house, from different location, to return the same way. So this morning, the Lord is transforming us. He's taking us from one level to another, from one greatness to a greater greatness. The Lord is lifting you up in the name of Jesus.